From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. Military pallbearers have carried the wooden casket of Senator Edward Kennedy to his gravesite at Arlington National Cemetery, where the sounds of dusk are embracing the peaceful green slope where he'll be laid to rest near the graves of his brothers, John and Robert, at the site of the Eternal Flame. The burial service is being led by Roman Catholic Cardinal Theodore McCarrick. NPR's Kathy Rushlow watched as the motorcade entered the cemetery.
Windows are open. All the Kennedy kids and grandkids are leaning out and waving. Part of the reason the applause isn't bigger is everyone's got their cell phone in the air, snapping pictures. People are very excited, yelling, "We love you. We love your father. We love your grandfather."
NPR's Kathy Rushlow at Arlington Cemetery. En route to Arlington, the motorcade carrying Kennedy's casket stopped on Capitol Hill, where hundreds of congressional staff members gathered for a brief prayer service. Kennedy's body was flown to Washington after his funeral mass this morning in Boston. Tenor Placido Domingo and cellist Yo-Yo Ma performed Panis Angelicus. President Obama gave a eulogy praising Kennedy as the greatest legislator of our time, a man whose name graces nearly 1,000 laws.
We do not weep for him today because of the prestige attached to his name or his office. We weep because we loved this kind and tender hero who persevered through pain and tragedy, not for the sake of ambition or vanity, not for wealth or power, but only for the people and the country that he loved.
Members of Kennedy's family offered prayers and remembrances during the service. Kennedy's son, Ted Jr., who lost a leg to cancer when he was 12, recalled his tearful frustration at trying to climb an icy hill and his dad's words of encouragement.
I said, "I'll never be able to climb up that hill." And he lifted me up in his strong, gentle arms and said something I will never forget. He said, "I know you can do it. There is nothing that you can't do."
Kennedy says his father taught him that even the most profound losses are survivable. Two bomb attacks in Iraq today left about 18 people dead and some 50 others wounded. The explosions came as thousands of Iraqis attended the burial of a Shiite political leader. NPR's Peter Kenyon has the story from Baghdad.
The most powerful explosion of the morning struck near the town of Shirkat, south of the northern city of Mosul. Witnesses and Iraqi officials say a suicide truck bomber was diverted from a checkpoint and detonated his charge in front of a nearby market. A second vehicle bomb exploded about 2 hours later near the town of Sinjar, also in northern Iraq. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Baghdad.
This is NPR News from Washington. The Space Shuttle Discovery rocketed skyward from the Kennedy Space Center at noontime today after several launch delays. Discovery is carrying lab equipment, supplies, and a new crew member for the International Space Station. Exactly 4 years ago, Hurricane Katrina slammed into the Gulf Coast, breaking levees that flooded 80% of the city of New Orleans. Memorial events took place today throughout the city. Eileen Fleming of member station WWNO has the story.
There are bell-ringing ceremonies, a plaque is being unveiled at a cemetery. Wreaths are tossed from bridges to canals that 4 years ago gave way, decimating neighborhoods with water. New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin says it takes years before a city fully recovers from a disaster.
The ones that we've looked at, Kobe, Japan, and L.A., and, you know, even New York is, I think, at 10 years, and they're still doing some construction there. So we seem to be moving along. I wish it could go faster, but that's not the reality of a recovery.
Nagin says positive signs include a population hovering at 80% of pre-Katrina levels, unemployment below national averages, and federal aid starting to flow. He says the city still struggles with violent crime, 60,000 blighted homes, and inadequate health care. For NPR News, I'm Eileen Fleming in New Orleans.
A wildfire that's raging in the mountains north of Los Angeles has forced the evacuation of 150 more families whose homes could be threatened by the flames. U.S. Forest Service spokesman Bruce Quintler says despite low visibility and sweltering heat, fire crews are battling the blaze aggressively. He says the blaze is so far only about 5% contained. Smoke from the blaze has spread over a large area of Los Angeles County. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News in Washington.